allies are now forced to empty with spoons the bitter soup that had been served by the Russians, unquote. The judgments at Nuremberg had dishonored the Wehrmacht, and the dismantling had insulted and robbed Germany's great industrialists, Krupp and Weizsäcker and Bosch, all well represented in Fricke's cells. By the way, Fricke was the former Nazi collaborator who worked for Joseph Goebbels and who was one of the point people for Abrams' operations in Germany. Continuing, by all rights, they should stand down, refuse to rearm, let the Americans defend Christendom from the Slavs, but there it was, Christendom. They were Christian men chosen not by a nation but by Jesus himself to lead their people into the order God revealed to them in their prayers. To accomplish these tasks, the Frankfurt cell concluded, the state needs power, and this powerfulness is indispensable for the sake of love. And so Germany was indeed rearmed. And as we're going to see too, Manfred Zapp and other members of the family were very successful in helping to effect not only the easing of denazification, but basically the purging of the American occupation government of anyone who was sympathetic to the original denazification orders, including the plan on the part of former Secretary Henry Morgenthau, who had launched Operation Safe Haven to interdict the German capital flight program. Any former advocates of Morgenthau's deindustrialization and denazification of Germany plan were purged from the Allied occupation government. And one of the things to note here is the networking between Abram and the family, and among others, John J. McCloy, U.S. High Commissioner of Germany, former chairman of the Chase Manhattan Bank, one of the key people involved in forming the Black Eagle Trust, and later a key member of the Warren Commission, helping to cover up the assassination of President Kennedy by many of the same elements in this fascist milieu. Of the family's role in helping to facilitate the successful easing of denazification and the purging of hardline anti-Nazis from the American occupation government, for years, Manfred Zapp had been Abrams' harshest correspondent, constantly warning that, quote, the man on the street, unquote, with whom he seemed to spend a great deal of time, had had enough of America's empty promises. America had committed mental cruelty, he charged, holding, quote, so-called war criminals in red coats, the uniform of the Landsberg prison, awaiting execution indefinitely. Abram agreed and sent to the occupation government letters signed by dozens of congressmen demanding action. America prevented German industry from feeding the nation, Zapp argued. Abram agreed and intervened time and again on behalf of German factories. He saved as many as he could, though a steel foundry named for Hermann Goering was beyond even his powers of redemption. America had put leftists and trade unionists and Bolsheviks in power, Zapp complained. Abram agreed. The cleansing of the American occupation government became an obsession, the subject of his meetings with the American High Commissioner John J. McCloy and his weekly prayer meetings with congressmen. Idealists, unquote, were prevented from serving their people, said Zapp. The man on the street was losing faith in the American religion. Quote, freedom in their interpretation is the ideal for which we shall fight and die, but the reality is nothing else but a beautiful world for services of for Western powers. The word freedom is not taken seriously anymore. Unquote. Within a few years, nobody cared. The Morgenthau boys were as much a part of the past as the history no German cared to speak of. Parenthetically, of course, that was the history of the Third Reich. And in this regard, again, I'm going into this book because it's getting a fair amount of gravitas, and I wanted to show how the Underground Reich and the elements about which I speak so often intersect with and network directly with not only the linchpins of Christian fundamentalist power, but in turn with some of the other power elements with which the Underground Reich is affiliated. We're going to conclude the program, first of all, by taking a look at a passage from the book The Nazis Go Underground by Kurt Rees. This was published before the Normandy invasion in 1944, and it's a discussion of the Third Reich's plans to go underground, and one of those plans involved networking with American Protestant fundamentalists. Quoting Kurt Rees here, again, writing in 1944 before the Normandy invasion, this book available for download for free on my website, spitfirelist.com. Kurt Rees writes, again, in early 44, also of interest to Berlin, particularly in view of the coming underground fight of the Nazis, must be fundamentalist Protestants who have a considerable following in Michigan, Kansas, Colorado, and Minnesota. To be sure, some of the fundamentalists are among the most courageous fighters for democracy, but a great many of them are definitely pro-Hitler. Their reason for this stand is that fundamentalists do not believe in freedom of religion, and they do believe that the Jews should be punished because they killed Christ. They say that Hitler has been sent by God to quote, save Christianity and destroy atheistic communism, unquote. To many of them, Japan is the oriental outpost of Christianity, unquote, destined to save Asia from the danger of a communistic China, unquote. And we're also going to review what Major General Reinhard Gehlen, the Third Reich's Eastern Front intelligence chief, who later moved with his entire organization first to the CIA, then NATO, then the, quote, new, unquote, Federal Republic of Germany. After his formal retirement as an intelligence officer, Gehlen got into evangelical religion, although the evangelical church here is probably the Lutheran church. But it's still, the fact that he became a Christian activist is more than a little interesting. From Gehlen's Spy of the Century by E.H. Cookridge, writing in 71, today, on the threshold of 70 years, General Reinhard Gehlen has found a surprising new field of activities. He has become an evangelist. With still unimpaired energy, he has taken over the direction of a campaign for building new churches and schools for the evangelical church in Catholic Bavaria. After a life of seclusion, he frequently attends meetings all over the province at which appeals for new funds are launched. On occasion, he does not disdain to visit members of his religious community in order to encourage the enterprise and to pass the begging bowl, unquote. Why, how inspiring. Reinhard Gehlen became an evangelist. Again, spitfirelist.com, that's the website that features not only the Nazis go underground, but a vast, it's by far and away the best website for this kind of information. It has my entire life's work up available for download for free. Please utilize that. And increasingly, an understanding of these programs is hinged on a reasonable use of the spitfirelist.com website. There's also a page to click on to support the work that I'm doing. If you don't like what you see, there's no better way to fight back than supporting that work. This concludes For the Record, program number 697, Side 2, Christian Fundamentalism and the Underground Reich, being recorded on December 13, 2009. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.
Well, you're welcome, Dave. That was Dave Emery, ladies and gentlemen. I try to follow Dave's arguments, but he loses me about 30 seconds into his program. The problem with the Dave Emery show, and I've said this before or something like it, is that he's got too much in his monologues about underground Nazis and atheistic communism, and not enough about Cab Calloway. Dave, just offering you a little bit of professional advice. I think it could increase your listenership if you follow my example. Well, I'm about to set a broadcast example here. Oh, this is a WFMU, East Orange. That's where I live. And WMFU, Mount Hope. Never been there. Couldn't point it out on a map. I'm the old codger, Courtney T. Edison, filling in for Mac and the Antique Phonograph Hour. I'll be playing for the next 60 minutes nothing but 78 RPM records, like they're going out of style.
I'd even stop working so I can love you some more. And the witness said, young Mrs. Ray told how her husband from home stayed away. She said, I want to be free. After the case had been thoroughly tried, what is your verdict? The magistrate cried. Dan looked her over and then he replied, you need a husband like me. I work 8 hours, I sleep 8 hours, that leaves 8 hours for love. 8 long hours with nothing to do. Why, think of the fun if I spent it with you. To prove I love you, I'll kiss and hug you. And if you want an encore, why, my sleep I'll be sure. Good night, even quit working so I can love you some more. I work 8 hours, I sleep 8 hours, that leaves 8 hours for love. 8 long hours with nothing to do. If I spent him with you, to prove I love you, I'll kiss and hug you. And if you want an encore, why, my sleep I'll be short, and I'll even quit working so I can love you some more.
butcher, and I like your meat. I know your cutting can't be beat. I like it like that. Yes, I like it like that. It's so good. That's why I like it like that.
I did some cutting for Sister Flo.
Oh, yeah.
Now she hang around my market for me to cut some more.
Oh, she likes it like that. Yeah, oh, she likes it like that. It's so good. That's why she likes it like that. I like your cutting, cause you always smile. You cut a little bit and you talk a while. You know I like it like that.
Yes,
yes, I like it like that. Oh, it's so good. That's why I like it like that.
My cutting hour is from 8 to 2.
Yeah.
But I'll cut a little longer, honey, if you want me to.
I like it like that. Yes, I like it like that. It's so good. That's why I like it like that. Now, I don't care how much your meat cost. If I pay double, I ain't nothing lost. Cause I like it like that. Yes, I like it like that. It's so good. That's why I like it like that.
Now when I start to cut,
what
I'm a cutting clown.
You telling me?
Oh, my lady cuts me, so I really bring them down.
Oh, they like it like that. Yeah, they like it like that. It's so good. That's why they like it like that. I don't have to go to no other butcher and plead. You got all the meat I need. I like it like that. Oh, baby, I like it like that. It's so good. That's why I like it like that.
After the day of worry and hurry is through, night brings a time for dreaming. And dreaming brings you a million dreams. The world is dreaming, dreaming a million dreams. While stars are beaming, so many dreams that never come true. Still I believe in my dreams of you. A million times the moon above me has seemed to say, someday you'd love me. I'm only dreaming. Let me keep on dreaming, dreaming a million dreams of you. Thank you. while stars are beaming. So many dreams that never come true. Still I believe in my dreams of you a million times a day. The moon above me has seemed to say, someday you love me. I'm only dreaming, but let me keep on dreaming a million dreams of you.
Yes, and those were the Ponce sisters, Esther and Dorothea Ponce. They were sisters, and they were the daughters of Phil, my old friend Phil Ponce, who was the manager of Fats Waller. As a matter of fact, I introduced the two of them, brought them together around 1934, and Phil became the manager for Fats Waller. Well, the Ponce sisters sang A Million Dreams, a great old recording. 78 RPM record, as a matter of fact. Coot Grant and Kid Wesley Wilson sang the Meat Cutting Blues. And let's see, we heard also with that collection of music, Willie the Lion Smith and his Cubs did the Harlem Joys, and Red Nichols and his Five Pennies gave us the Washboard Blues. And started out the program with Norbays. She was married to Jack Norwood. They wrote some songs together. They were in vaudeville together. Norbays singing, I work 8 hours, I sleep 8 hours, that leaves 8 hours for love. Well, I'm always glad to have some time left over for slurping some coffee. I got me a fine cup of some Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Yes. Where's my jewel bib? You know, I think I've left it home. Rotten. Well, anyway, I like my coffee like I like my women. Light and sweet. Like Bessie Smith. Well, okay, that doesn't work. Light and sweet like Ruth Edding. But not weak and watery like Annette Henshaw. I don't like weak coffee. And I don't like tea. And that there's this political movement these days of people who think that coffee is bad for your health. These do-gooders, they want everybody to switch from coffee to tea, because tea's supposed to be better for you. They're trying to outlaw coffee. They want to make it illegal. These people are called teabaggers. Well, I'm against them. I heard they were throwing bricks at the Starbucks over in Europe at the G20 summit. Well, I don't like Starbucks myself because the coffee stinks. So I don't agree with the goals of these teabaggers, these coffee abolitionists. But in this respect, I won't criticize the choice of their targets. In fact, hand me a brick. Let me join the fun. Well, anyway, I'm the old codger. I'm filling in for Mac tonight on WFMU here on the... he calls it the Antique Phonograph Hour. I just call it the Philco Cheap Cigar Boudoir. And I'm here for an hour. And since 1932, I have had 4,798 consecutive complete shows. Unlike today's pampered DJs, I've never needed a late-inning closer. I go the distance, and it's always one more in the W column. I've heard some DJs, they start to fade in the bottom of the sixth. Not me. I've got a wicked curve. I got nasty stuff. And I know how to use an illegitimate substance or two. I learned it all from Burley Grimes. That's right, old Stubblebeard himself. He was tough. He was a bastard on the mound. And he learned it from Moose Bowlegs Crawford. Crawford was the bastard who taught the bastard how to be a bastard. These are my role models. And listen to me. You can't argue with success. Well, we're going to go back now to the music, the fine music, the 70 RPM music, the great music. Here, I forget, it's a 78 RPM record. You'll enjoy it, whatever it is. I'll tell you later what it is.
Such a long day, just an everything goes wrong day. Maybe just because I wanted you here. So now I guess you tell me maybe that I'm acting like a baby. But I want to be a baby when you're near. Don't say a word, just hold me tight. Cuddle up closer, cause I'm lonesome tonight. And sing me a baby song. Maybe it's you, maybe it's me. What do you care what the reason may be? Just sing me a baby song.
baby song. When a baby cries, she wants lullabies about the treetop cradle so tall. Won't you baby me, honey, can't you see? I'm just a grown-up baby, that's all. You ought to know when I'm so blue, I'm just a baby who's crying for you. So sing me a baby song. Sing me a baby song. I'm just a baby who's crying for you, so sing me a baby song. A pretty little beautiful lullaby, any little baby song.
One evening as the sun went down and the jungle fire was burning, down the track came a hobo hiking, and he said, "Boys, I'm not turning. I'm headed for a land that's far away, beside the crystal fountains. So come with me, we'll go and see the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, there's a land that's fair and bright, where the handouts grow on bushes and you sleep out every night, where the boxcars all are empty and the sun shines every day on the birds and the bees and the cigarette trees, the lemonade springs where the bluebird sings, in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, all the cops have wooden legs and the bulldogs all have rubber teeth and the hens lay soft-boiled eggs. The farmer's trees are full of fruit and the barns are full of hay. Oh, I'm bound to go where there ain't no snow, where the rain don't fall, the wind don't blow, in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, you never change your socks, and the little streams of alcohol come a-trickling down the rocks. The brakemen have to tip their hats and the railroad bulls are blind. There's a lake of stew and a whiskey too. You can paddle all around them in a big canoe in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, the jails are made of tin, and you can walk right out again as soon as you are in. There ain't no short-handled shovels, no axes, saws, or picks. I'm a-going to stay where you sleep all day, where they hung the Turk that invented work, in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. I'll see you all this coming fall in the Big Rock Candy Mountains.
If it ain't love, why should I feel just like I do? If it ain't love, why am I here longing for you? What can it be that's making me dream of you night and day? Keep me blue all the day through whenever you're away. If it ain't love, then it must be some magic art. If it ain't love, how did this song creep into my heart?
answer me, what can it be if it ain't
I gotta come back on the microphone. I was busy admiring a photograph of Sophie Tucker. Yeah, just have this old magazine here. Yes. Howdy do, Sophie. No, I won't be along very soon. Sorry. I plan on sticking around for a long time. Because, as they say, if you can't take it with you, then I'm not going. I'm the old codger, Courtney T. Edison, here on WFMU. A radio station that's not worth listening to the rest of the week. Well, except when Mackie's on with the Antique Phonograph Hour, he plays some fine music. We just heard. It's a sequence of 78 RPM records, all comprising some very fine music. We had started out with Don Redman and his orchestra with Chant of the Weed. And Vaughn DeLeith, great singer, did Sing Me a Baby Song. That was from 1926. Harry McClintock with Big Rock Candy Mountain, song that he wrote. Let's see, then we heard the Boswell Sisters and If It Ain't Love. And we finished up with, it was Benny Moten and his Kansas City Orchestra with South. Well, just want to say, I know I shouldn't be veering into controversy on this program, trying to keep it light and entertaining, but since nobody asked, I thought you should know my position on gay marriage. Since everybody seems to be talking about it, well, I'll tell you what I think. Generally speaking, I'm not gay, and I'm not married, and I'm not heading in either direction. But that does not answer the question. Everybody should have an opinion on this very most urgent topic. It's controversial. It's about the future of the country. There's no standing on the sidelines. And I am not exempt. If you can't take a stand on principle, then you should be... You know what I say, if you cannot take a stand on principle, then you should be forced to offer a fake declaration of opinion. You know, just make it up. And if you can't offer a fake opinion, then be facetious. That's what I say. But then you got to be prepared to face the consequences from people who take it seriously. Well, here's my opinion on gay marriage. I've thought about it. I've come to the conclusion that all marriages should be gay. Too many marriages lack gaiety. And marriages that aren't gay should submit to counseling, marriage counseling, to retrieve that gay atmosphere. My parents were gay. Sometimes. On vacation, they were gay. When they were paying bills and working, slapping my fanny for misbehaving, they were not gay. But that didn't make their marriage any less gay. I'm also very much in favor of gay divorce. I said, let the lawyers battle it out. Determine who gets to keep their ass sets. So look, if you are against gay marriage, you must be some kind of grouch. Let me just say that I hate grouches. I hate them. Ah, the only thing worse than a grouch is a gay grouch. These people should have their Social Security numbers retired forcibly. Well, I just thought I'd share my opinion with you in case anybody was wondering where I stand on the issue of gay marriage. Now, we'll go back to the fine, fine music of the era of 78 RPM records.
keeps his pockets full of mirrors. He's a pup bow wow. He went into a cabaret to see Miss Jenny dance. Jenny stepped right up and said, "You have no chance. There'll be no doings here before you pay. No dance or prancing till the break of day. I know there's lots of girlies you may charm and long to hold them close up right in your arms. But here's a lesson that was taught to me. You cannot eat and sleep on mirth and glee. Goodbye, and please don't call at all. There'll be no freebies at Miss Jenny's ball. Every time I step up on that ballroom floor, there's a certain brother here that asks for more. I see you gotta get your toes, because you're acting mighty bold. Sweet papa, proper talking man. Now bring your bucks and bucks aplenty. Here's my hand. I'll take from a dollar to a quarter, from a quarter to a frying pan. I need to do, mean I do. I've got no time to bill that cool. There be no freebies at Miss Jenny's ball. There'll be no doings here before you pay. No dance prancing till the break of day. I know there's lots of girlies you may charm and long to hold them close up right in your arms. But here's a lesson that was taught to me. You cannot eat and sleep on mirth and glee. Goodbye, and please don't call at all. There'll be no babies at Miss Jenny's ball.
And how you are, and And if you are all alone,
save a lot of coal. I met a movie star who's famous for his patch. I gave him one kiss and singed off his mustache. A funny thing happened, I nearly died. I sat down on an egg, got up, the egg was fried. I'm the last of the red hot mamas. They've all cooled down but me. I don't pet and only neck 'em. No, sir, I'm a mama who loves to wreck 'em. I can make them sizzle, make them fry and frizzle. If you want to know the truth, I can warm the cold ones, give the old ones back their flaming youth. I was born in the hot Bahamas. Right now I'm in love and pride. Others pet and kiss and hug and don't know what it's all about. Say, when I kiss men, they feel I've had their tonsils taken out. But I'm the last of the red hot mama. I'm getting hotter all the time.
Man, there she was, Sophie Tucker, the last of the red hot mamas. Oh! Yes. Schatz Randall and his orchestra sang about skirts. Sammy Williams Trio with Mary McHugh doing the vocal on All Alone. Let's see, I heard Mamie Smith with Jenny's Ball. And Eddie Lang on guitar. Frank Signorelli on piano. And they did Melody Man's Dream. Well, the show's only got about 5 minutes or so. Then a guy named Tom comes in. So I just have a few more minutes with you before the show's over. It's been a long time since I've been on the air. I got so many things I want to tell you. But one of the things I need to address is that the people are always asking me, Codger, what is the meaning of life? You've been around for over a century, well over a century or two. So you must know the meaning of life by now. And I tell them, how the hell should I know? I don't know anything about meaning. I just know how to be mean. It's part of my nature. Yes, being mean is, it's an all-natural process. I was all natural before all these hippie eco-freaks. I am naturally stubborn, naturally cranky, and naturally resistant to change. Mother Nature and I get along just fine. I just wish she'd stop thinking she's root-heading. Mother Nature should shut up. She tries to sing along with my Ethel Waters 78s, and she's usually intoxicated when she does. She needs to lay off the sauce. Whiskey does not improve Mother Nature's singing. Well, even though I don't know the meaning of life, I can't help you there, I do have rules for living. Rules for living, 5 rules. Write these down, they're very important. Rule number 1, break the other guy's big band 78s before he breaks your ukulele Ike 78s. Rule number 1 is the only rule that matters. Rule number 3, make sure your list of rules always has at least 3 items. Rule number 4, doesn't hurt to have a 4th item. And number 5, take a nap. Yes. There are some things, of course. That's it for the list. This is the joke. The list is done. You can stop writing now. There are some things you should never do. You should never listen to the Glenn Miller Orchestra. You should not pay attention to celebrities who give you political advice. Except me. I'm very famous, and I have flawless judgment. So pay attention to what I'm about to tell you, which is that you should vote for Coolidge. Finally, I say to you, don't Google. I never have, and I never will. Oh, and one more thing you should always do. Always clean your stylus before you stick it in the groove. Oh, and finally, one more thing. Eat more waffles. Yes.
Care to share my devotion. Love never touched my heart. I knew nothing of the thrill in store. I never dared to show my emotion. Now I'm about to start. Funny, I have never felt this way before. There's something in the air that warns me to beware tonight. There's something in the air. There's music. in the breeze. I never saw the stars so bright. There's something in the air. Though I find there's danger in your eyes, the thrill is new. I've been blind, but now I realize what love can do. I feel it everywhere. So whisper you'll be mine tonight. There's something in the air. But now I realize what love can do. I feel it everywhere. So whisper, you'll be mine tonight. There's something in the air.
Finishing up with the woman who reminds me of my coffee, because she's so light and sweet. Root headache. And something in the air. Well, this is the old codger. So long, I'll fill in again for Mac on the antique photograph hour at some point in the future. Maybe I can get the program director, Ken, to give me a regular first-time slot again. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Okay, you stay tuned for Tom. He has the best show on WFMU. This is WFMU East Orange. WMFU Mount Hope.
WFMU, and then I asked you if I was on the air at WFMU.
Hi, Tom. This is Sasha from Oklahoma.
Supercaller Erica from Baltimore.
Hey, Tom. This is Ramsey in Greenpoint.
This is John.
I hate that guy.
Mort Rimbley. Mitt Romney.
Who's that?
Well, then I would flick the cane, and I would slash you in the face.
I have literally been in 1,000 fights.
How much sports talk?
Too much.
Who's this?
Gingivitis.
Yeah. They have ring bologna at the Wawa.
I'm Julie.
This is Jerry and Boulder.
Hey, Tom. This is Jason Grove.
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Todd Newbridge. Todd Palin.
My name is Mustafa.
Larry DeFerre.
He was taking 63 different pills.
It's Matthew Tompkins.
This is radio.
It sounds like you're running your voice through some sort of
modulator.
No, I'm not running through a modulator
Tom,
either.
It's David from D.C.
Hey, Tom. It's Officer Tom.
Bonnie.
Tom, it's Ken Rogers.
Tom, it's Julie Klausner.
It's Julie Klausner.
My name is Dylan Milford. I'm the president of the Los Angeles chapter of the Spike Fan Club.
Martin from Edison.
This is Paul F. Tompkins from Hollywood, California.
Yeah, you got Clark out here in New Jersey.
Clark?
Yeah.
This is Lori.
Lori from?
Miami.
Ready? I'm coming.
Who is?
You'll find out. I'll
make you eat the Bible.
You are creepy and I'm hanging up on you. Boing.
It's Kurt Gaistburn.
Gaistburn?
Yes.
Tom, it's Ted.
Hi, Tom. It's DJ Terry T.
I said it's Bill down in Millersville, Maryland.
Is Omar? Dude. Really?
Yeah, hey, Tom. It's Maniac FOT.
I'm saying Colfin.
Not Colfin. Sociology. It's anthropology. We're all going to get degrees at the end.
Your mouth, 'cause it's toxic.
sorry I've left my card at home.
Well, you're late as well. That's three times on the run. If you're late again, the supervisor said we're going to put you on daily sign and...
Ha!
Of a runaway American dream. At nights we ride the mansions of glory and my suicide machines. Sprung from cages on Highway 9, from real fuel injected and stepping out over the line. Oh, baby, this town looks a bones for your back. It's a death trap, it's a suicide rap. You gotta get out while we're young. Just wrap your legs around these velvet hips and strap your hands, cut my engines. Together we could break this trap. We run till we drop, baby, and we'll never go back. Oh, will you walk with me out on the wire? Cause baby, I'm a scared Rony Rider, and I've gotta know how it feels.
I'm a Mac, of course, that's a big old ass. Got me up in this mug. I am in this mug.
Yeah. D-I-L-A, the man, the myth, the plan is to get the grands and cause panic when I hit that. It's that body, body. Thinking it hot, but it's not this.
It's that hard, looking for hoes, the ones.